The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter Number 52, Text Number 18, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 14th, 2012, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Raja Uvacha. Bhagavan Bhishmakasutam Rukminim Ruchira Anannam Rakshasena Vidhanena Upayeme Iti Shrutam Shri Rajovacha Bhagavan Bhishmaka Sutang Rukminim Rucharananam Rakshasena Vidanena Upayema Iti Shrutam Shri Rajovacha Bhagavan Bhishmaka Sukam Rukminim Rucharananam Rakshasena Vidanena Upayema Iti Shrutam Shri Raja Uvacha. The King Parikshit Maharaj said, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Bhishmakasutam, the daughter of Bhishmaka, Rukminim, Shrimati Rukmini Devi, Ruchira, charming, Ananam, whose face, Rakshasena, called Rakshasa, Vidhanena, by the method, namely by kidnapping, Upayeme, he married, Iti, thus, Shrutam, heard. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. King Parikshit said, the Supreme Lord married Rukmini, the beautiful-faced daughter of Bhishmaka, in the Rakshasa style, or so I have heard. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami quotes the following Smriti statement, Rakshaso Yudha Haranat. A Rakshasa marriage takes place when the bride is stolen from one's rival suitors by force. Similarly, Shukadeva Goswami himself has already said, Ragya Pramatsya. Krishna had to beat down opposing kings to take Rukmini. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sapadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha shunyavadi pushchanda deshatarine. So King Parikshit is interested to hear about this pastime of Krishna. He had heard that there was a Rakshasa marriage by kidnapping. Doesn't mean that Krishna is a Rakshasa. But Krishna can utilize Rakshasa marriage if he so desires, kidnapping marriage. So this eagerness to hear about the pastimes of Krishna is a first-class qualification for becoming the pure devotee of the Lord and being qualified to go back to home, back to Godhead. Very, very important we have this eagerness to hear. This is Parikshit Maharaj. Actually, he is the acharya of hearing. Sukadeva Goswami is the acharya of speaking, and Parikshit Maharaj is the acharya of hearing. This hearing business is very, very essential. Prabhupada is the ideal example. He had met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur when he was a young man, the age 22, at Ultadanga, Calcutta, on the rooftop. Now, ISKCON has now acquired that building, which is very good news, where Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That is now ISKCON's property. But anyway, he met him there. He walks in as a guest, and immediately he's given an order. This is kind of amazing. Immediately he's given instruction. He's just a guest. He's given an order that you should spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. So Prabhupada, first of all, argued, because he was a Gandhian at the time. He showed that he was a Gandhian by wearing khadi. He wouldn't wear the mill-made dhoti. He was wearing the handmade dhoti. So he was convinced, though, by the argument of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that this was the highest necessity. It was more important than any change of political leadership. So at that very moment of being defeated by Guru Maharaj, he accepted, this is my spiritual master. Prabhupada said, practically he initiated me. Just in that first meeting, Prabhupada had already, was practically initiated already, even though it wasn't formal yet by the actual ceremony, but in his heart he accepted, yes, this is my spiritual master. I met such a great saintly person. He was always remembering. Then by his, as a householder, he had some business responsibilities and some livelihood responsibilities. And so for his business, he relocated to Allahabad, which is far away from where the Gaudiya Math was located. So for many years, he wasn't getting any opportunity to contact his spiritual master. But then one day, some devotees from the Gaudiya Math, they came to Allahabad to open a center there. He was very, very happy to receive them. Although his father, being an old man, didn't understand. He thought they were from Ramakrishna Mission. He wasn't very happy to receive them. But actually they were not from Ramakrishna Mission, they're from Gaudiya Math. So he was very happy to receive them. He gave them all help to establish the movement there in Allahabad. And then he took the opportunity. There was a parikrama, a Rajmandal parikrama, led by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Srila Prabhupada took the opportunity to go and hear Guru Maharaj speak, when she had not gotten that opportunity for all those years, you see. He took the opportunity to go and hear Guru Maharaj speak. But as you know, you may know, Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, speaks in very big, big words. You see. The materialistic Dhaminar cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat in this way. You have to get out your big dictionary, your unabridged dictionary, to find out what he's talking about. Even if you're a native speaker, you see. What does speak of a Bengali villager? So you know, in Raj Mandal, they don't have nightclubs, at least not yet, thank God. But they have the darshan, and that's the nightlife. And even to this day, nightlife in Vrindavan means darshan, going for darshan. That's nightlife, you see. So there was an evening lecture, and there was also darshans going on in the temple. So you had a choice. You could go to hear the lecture, or you could go for the darshan. So hardly anyone could understand what Guru Maharaj was talking about. So mostly the people just went for darshan, you see. Only a small handful would actually sit there and hear his lectures. There'd be a few sannyasis and one pharmaceutical businessman from Allahabad named Vaicharan Day was sitting there to hear Guru Maharaj speak. Prabhupada said, I would understand, I would not understand, but I would go on listening, you see. So just like in ISKCON, when the devotees think somebody's ready for initiation, they recommend. Well, we recommend so-and-so for initiation. So the devotees in Allahabad, they recommended that this Abhaycharan Day Guru Maharaj recommend him for initiation. And he said, oh yes, the others go away, but he hears very nicely. Therefore, I will accept him as my disciple, you see. So that eagerness for hearing, you see, that's actually the qualification to become a disciple. It's very, very important. Just as Pariksha Maharaj is eager to hear, we have to be that, have that eagerness, to be very, very eager to hear about Krishna consciousness. The name of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the activities of Krishna. This eagerness to hearing, for hearing. So, Prabhupada told us, he said, because I heard nicely, now I can speak nicely. So someone who doesn't have an aptitude or a desire to hear nicely, they can never be a good preacher. It's not possible. Even if they can give very eloquent speeches, it won't be, there'll be no realization, you see. Because to the degree that we actually can submissively hear, to that degree we get realization of Krishna consciousness. So in this way, we have to take advantage of Prabhupada's example and the example of Pariksit Maharaj. And we have to develop that taste for hearing. But what if I have no taste for hearing? You see, what do I do then? Well, go ahead and hear anyway. It's a discipline. I don't have a taste for this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to listen and try to understand clearly what's being spoken in this way. Even as a discipline, if one hears and he has no taste, by that discipline, gradually the taste will come. Because the fact is we all have that taste originally there, you see. We originally have that taste to hear about Krishna. Actually, the only thing we really want to hear about is Krishna. That's our original pure state of consciousness. The only thing that we're interested in is Krishna, and we're not interested in anything else. But somehow we've become diverted by the influence of material energy to think that so many other things are of interest. You see, politics, sports, you know, etc. Neighborhood gossip, you know, temple gossip, etc. It's just that it's Maya has diverted this. Our original natural desire, our original rational taste is simply to hear about Krishna and nothing else. So now we're attracted to the news, we're attracted to this, so many things. We just have to bring ourselves back, you see, to hearing about Krishna, the name, the fame, the forms, the pastimes, the activities, the qualities, the teachings, everything about Krishna. Simply Krishna, 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 24 hours a day, you see. Simply get totally immersed in Krishna as much as we possibly can. And that will bring us gradually to the state of spontaneous love. Simply by becoming very eager to hear about Krishna, we will see the perfection of spontaneous love of Godhead, you see. Just by that hearing, 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 hearing. Therefore, it is enjoined. Nasta prayeshva badeshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. By regularly hearing classes on the Srimad Bhagavatam, or by serving the person who's a living embodiment of the Srimad Bhagavatam, all that is inauspicious within the heart becomes destroyed almost to nil, and thus loving service under the Supreme Personality of God, and who is praised with transcendental hymns, becomes established as an irrevocable fact. One may wonder, what does that mean, almost to know? Well, that's the preliminary stages. When you become completely fixed in the mode of goodness, Brahma-bhuta prasanatma, you see. But then from there, then you go to the next stage, which is Shuddha-sattva, pure devotional service. So this hearing will first take you to the stage of the mode of goodness. And if you continue to hear in the mode of goodness, then you go to pure bhakti. So the hearing about Krishna will first take you to the mode of goodness, and then from there to pure bhakti. Two stages described in that verse. So right now we have so many inauspicious in the heart. We have lust, let's be honest. We have lust, we have anger, you see, we have greed, we have madness, we have illusion, we have envy. So much contamination is sitting there. I mean, it's rotten, horrible contamination, isn't it? Anybody here have a clean heart? We don't. Our hearts are very, very dirty. We have so much contamination in the heart. But the more we go on hearing, it's a heart clean. It's like a cleaning machine, you know. It's polishing the heart, cleaning out the dirt. The more we go on hearing, every minute, Shishi Radha Golokananda Ki Jai. The more we go on hearing, hearing means cleansings. You see? That therefore, if one can hear, you know, I mean, even an hour, the more time you can spend hearing and chanting every day, hearing, chanting, and reading, the more time you can do that, and serving also, the more time you can spend absorbing yourself in hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, devotional activities, that has a cleansing process, a cleansing effect. The more we hear, the more we become cleansed. And the more we become cleansed, the natural, spontaneous love of Godhead, which has been sleeping in our hearts since time immemorial, becomes reawakened. Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It is a natural reawakening of the original dormant consciousness of the living entity. Svarupa, we've heard that word, it refers to the original form of a living entity. You don't get a sarupa, you already have one. It's just a matter of getting rid of everything that's blocking you from being situated in your sarupa as the eternal servant of Krishna. Getting all the crud out of the way, really, and being who you are. You see, Krishna consciousness simply means know who you are and be who you are. So we can't understand our original sarupa at this point, but we do know from the scriptures that we're the eternal servants of Krishna. That we know. So that is a sarupa also. And that's the general sarupa of every living entity. Specifically, we don't know. But generally, we know I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. So let me now, by engaging in sadhana bhakti, let me come to the stage of pure bhakti. And then I realize my specific sarupa. But now I can generally understand that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Therefore, I have to follow the instructions of Krishna. I have to accept the spiritual master. I have to serve the Vaishnavas. In this way, you see, one takes up the clear path of Krishna consciousness with no confusion. This path is very clearly described by Srila Prabhupada in his books. If you regularly study these books and you'll do exactly what Prabhupada says, you'll become an enlightened spiritual being. That's a fact. You become free from the contamination of this material world. You'll become a liberated soul. You'll be involved in this body. It's described this way in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That one who engages in pure devotional service and devotional activities in with body, mind, and words, fully absorbed in himself, he becomes jivan mukta sa uchate. He becomes a liberated soul even while engaged in activities in this material world. One does not have to give up one's occupation. One simply has to give up the false sense of proprietorship. That's all. That's the only thing we have to give up. Nothing else has to be given up. Simply give up the false sense of proprietorship that I'm the Lord. You can do that, then everything will fall into place automatically. Because once you understand that you're not the Lord, that Krishna is the Lord, then you'll understand also that you're not the enjoyer of the property of Krishna. You'll understand that your duty is to engage this property, which the Lord's property, in His service. You see. So by doing that, by engaging everything in the service of the Lord, then one becomes very, very happy and liberated person. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Okay. The merits of Krishna and Rukmini is known to most people, but often we have questions about the marriage of Krishna to Radha done by Brahmaji. Prabhupada never mentioned it anywhere in his books. It's not that important. It is mentioned, or it is there. You can research that. I've never studied in detail because Prabhupada never even mentioned it. It is there on the internet. You can go to Google and type in, and you'll find there are different. It's there. It's mentioned in the Garga Samhita. You can, which is available. ISKCON has not published it, but Kusha Kara Prabhu has translated it, one of our devotees. So you can study there in the Garga Samhita if you want more information about it. An initiated disciple must not give his guru the trouble to come back to grab him or her back to Godhead. In our case, is it the first time you have come to take us? Yes, this is first time. Prabhupada said that the spiritual master comes back to save his disciples who Prabhupada mentions him. So we can't imagine how Prabhupada is doing that and what way he's doing that, but Prabhupada said it, so it has to be true. Prabhupada, the spiritual master, does come back again to rescue his disciples. That's a fact. How, we don't know, but we take it on the authority of Prabhupada's words that it's true. How can a devotee know he is advancing to a higher stage of bhakti? That is not difficult. If you're becoming free from the desire for material sense gratification, then you are truly advancing to a higher stage of bhakti. If you're still desiring material sense gratification, you have not advanced to a higher stage of bhakti. Explain how Lord Krishna left the material world. Can you explain how Srimati Radharani left? These things are not very important, not very relishable. First of all, I don't know, and I've never read it anywhere. And it's not very important either. How Radharani left? It's actually, we don't want to hear about them leaving, you see. This is not appeal to our hearts. We don't want to think about Radharani going away. You see, it's not a pleasant topic for us. Anything else? Okay. We must have good association in Krishna consciousness. How can we identify good devotees? See who is. The sign of a good devotee is someone who is in the mood of serving Vaishnavas. He's not simply thinking of himself. That's called Kanishta Adhikari. Maybe you'd like to add something? You have very good realizations on this. Yeah. On how we recognize a good devotee. Yeah. How do we recognize someone who's a good devotee?
A good devotee?
Yeah.
I'm not a good devotee, so how can I recognize a good devotee?
This is the attitude, you see. Even if one thinks I'm a devotee, if I ask you, are you a good devotee? You see, would you think, well, the problem is I'm not even a devotee yet, you know. Boy, even if you call me a bad devotee, you flattered me, Prabhu. I'm not even a devotee yet, you see. That's the mood. Wow, you called me a bad devotee. Thank you very much. I didn't even think I was on that high yet to be even be a devotee, what is speaking, you know. So this is the proper mood. That I'm not someone asked me, one of my disciples in Malaysia wrote me, she said, what does it mean to be a devotee of Krishna? It means to be devoted to Krishna. It's a very simple thing. Trouble is we're not devoted to Krishna. We're devoted to our senses and the senses of those who are the extensions of us, the family members, etc. That's where our devotion goes right now. So we have to be humble and realize I'm not really a devotee yet of Krishna. So Krishna, please bless me. I can become your devotee. I'm aspiring to be a devotee. That is our actual position. I'm praying that I can become a devotee. I'm begging Krishna, please bless me. I can truly become your devotee. Okay, if a devotee comes to know that he has committed any offense knowingly or unknowingly, but he may be pointed out then what he may have committed an offense unknowingly or knowingly, but he may be pointed out, then what should the devotee do? Well, whether you're pointed out or not, the best mood is to always be in the mood of begging forgiveness. My dear Guru Maharaj, my dear Vaishnava, if in any way I've been offensive, please forgive me. I'm so dull, I'm so stupid, I can't even tell the difference between what's being offensive and not being offensive. I'm so dull-headed. So I may have done something I thought was wonderful, it was an offense. I'm not even a good brain for telling the difference between what's offensive and what isn't. So therefore, I'm just begging your mercy. If any way I've been offensive unto you, please forgive me. This is the proper move. This is the proper move. Whether it's pointed out or it's not pointed out. Sometimes the older devotee will point out, this was really offensive. What you did, Prabhu or Mataji, this was very offensive. You shouldn't do like that. Sometimes it's pointed out, you see. Sometimes it isn't pointed out. So our offenses may be pointed out. They may not be pointed out by guru or advanced devotees. So we should always be in the mood of, please forgive my offense. If I have in any way been offensive, please forgive me. Anything else? Everyone satisfied now? All questions answered? Okay, very good. So we thank you all very much for your coming today to hear the Bhagavatam. It's a very, very important thing. The more we hear this, the more we become cleansed. And the more we become cleansed, the more we become ecstatic, you see. To be covered by the dirt is miserable because it's an unnatural position. The soul is in its original state, is pristine, it's clean, it's pure. So when the soul becomes dirty, when it becomes polluted by lust, anger, greed, mad illusion, and envy, it's a miserable condition. Even if somebody is successful in playing the game of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, as some materialists are, they're miserable. We see these big materialists are the most miserable people. Miserable people, you see. They get, they're very famous, they're very rich, but they become addicted to drugs because they're so miserable. It's like that Elvis Presley, we heard he actually died on the toilet, you see. It's a horrible position, you see. In a very inauspicious way. Leave the body and you're sitting on the toilet like passing stool, you know. It's very the materialists live very unhappy lives, you see. So if we want to become happy, we simply have to cleanse ourselves. The external thing of, you know, earning a livelihood, those go on, but they are not what makes us happy. What makes us happy is how much we can cleanse our hearts of all this accumulated dirt. And this process of hearing will enable us to get back to our original constitutional nature, which is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So we thank you once again. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Shankar Sandasan Karimaraj Ki Jai.